having a white pastor in an African-American congregation was unusual, but by virtue of the fact that I was living in the African-American community, I was very much a part of the black community and felt the pressures of Jim Crow only when I went outside of that community and, for instance, taking a parishioner to a restaurant. It's a no-no. The tensions in the Jim Crow period were there and real, and I felt them, but I had such a positive experience and acceptance on the part of the African-American community and the congregation that I was serving that it was a very positive experience.
Take me to Selma then, because the concerned white citizens decided that they wanted to make a very clear statement publicly. It happened to be the day before Bloody Sunday. Tell me what happened.
As we went down Broad Street, the main street in Selma, it was almost like a stroll because there was no opposition. People gawked and wondered what was happening. But when we got one block to where the county courthouse was located, we saw that there was some opposition because at that point there were a couple hundred white men with bats and clubs and even some steel pipes standing in the street, obviously not with friendly faces. Straight ahead, there were maybe a half dozen sheriff deputies. The deputy in charge asked me whether I knew a Reverend Edgar Homrighausen. He had difficulty pronouncing the name, and I said, yes, that's the president of our southern district of our church. And he said, well, I have a telegram from him, which said the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod does not in any way support Reverend Ellwanger and his actions here today. He said, what do you say to that? My response was simply, well, Dr. Homrighausen has a right to his own views, but we are here this morning to stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters who have been putting their lives on the line for a strong Voting Rights Act, and we want to get to the steps of the courthouse to make our statement. At that point, we had no idea whether we were going to be arrested, whether we were going to be turned around. It was up for grabs. But amazingly, the sheriff deputies stepped aside. We walked through and up to the steps of the courthouse, made our statement, and we had decided ahead of time that we were going to sing America the Beautiful because that first stanza ends with the prayer that America would experience brotherhood. That's the word that's used in that song. Well, as we were singing America, the men in the street began singing Dixie. And now what really caught our attention, of course, was behind us on the other side of the street were some 200 or 300 African-Americans. They began singing We Shall Overcome. So we had those three songs going at the same time, and you can imagine that it wasn't exactly a musical extravaganza, but it was a powerful symbol of the forces that were at work in the South at that time.
Your brother worked in the Attorney General's office. Was there ever tension between the two of you, given that obviously he was charged with enforcing the rules of Alabama, the laws of Alabama as they're written?
Well, my younger brother, David, who was an assistant attorney general, a graduate of the University of Alabama School of Law, he was 100% in favor of what I was doing, but he found it very difficult to talk about that position. In fact, he had a couple of his colleagues who were, when they discovered, for instance, that my name was called as someone to join with the 15 African-American pastors to meet with George Wallace, they were just livid that there was any white person, pastor or non-pastor, who would stand with this movement. And they used some pretty crude street language to describe what they'd like to do to me.
Have the way you looked at that time period and your participation in it, has that changed over the last five decades?
It's changed a little bit, not substantively. There's no question but what I feel good about my participation. The one thing that really impresses me as I look back is the number of people engaged in bringing about that change were relatively few. We should never think that a small group of people standing up for what is really right and what is necessary for a change for us to live together, we should never put down the smallness of our movement, but recognize that that's the way change has always taken place.